Please turn to Zechariah chapter 7, verse 13. We saw the last of the eight visions, chariots and horses, which was really a Zechariah version of the horsemen of the apocalypse, the judgment of the apocalypse that's very similar. We saw the crowning of the high priest. We saw the high priest Joshua earlier on in Zechariah. And this time, Zechariah says, bring Joshua here. And instead of putting priestly garments on him, which is what had happened earlier in Zechariah, it was put onto him an ornate crown, a king's crown. So you have Yeshua, the high priest at the time, being first dressed in priestly garments, now dressed in the king royal crown, which is typifying how several hundred years later, Jesus comes into Jerusalem and he becomes our priest and our king. He becomes our reigning priest, king, Messiah. And then concluded with the fact that people are saying, hey, now that the temple's about to be built, should we keep fasting? And then God says, you weren't really fasting for me, for your sin, you know, going back and acknowledging your sin. You were fasting because your life got miserable. And as we compared last week, I mean, people are saying Americans' lives are getting miserable. We're decreasing financially, drought, everything else that's happening. People are, inflation starting to go crazy, it was worse in the Carter days, but people are realizing, whoa, it's starting to hit. And there could be misery. And people are going to be complaining. And they're going to fast. We want the good days of America back. But God's saying, you're not fasting for your sin. You're not really caring about the sin that's happened. You're just caring that your life has gotten difficult. And we can inform our cohabitants of America, no, you should be caring, not that food is more expensive and all these other things are happening. You should care that we have sinned against Almighty God. And I found out that Jeremy One's sister is a movie star, and she's going to be in the new NCIS New Orleans. And she's going to be one of the stars. And so we're house sitting last night and we're watching something and channel checking and, oh, NCIS, I should watch this. And then I realized, man, because I'm not that familiar with NCIS, which I know is the most popular show on TV. Several innuendos, sexual innuendos, homosexual innuendos. And once again, as I read Ezekiel in my Through the Bible reading plan and what God told the angel to do is go through and mark on the foreheads of the people in the city of Jerusalem that grieve and agonize and cry over the things that are happening in Jerusalem, they I'm going to spare. The rest are going to be judged. And I've said this before, we've covered this before, but I'm saying it again. I watched and I just agonized at what the programming that is going into the millions of Americans, and it's all for filth and garbage. And just like James says, let your laughter and joyfulness be turned to mourning and agony, because it isn't so funny what's happening. It's actually on a spiritual scale, it's horrible what's happening. We're going to find out. But verse 13, just to review, therefore it happened that just as he proclaimed and they would not hear, so they called out and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. God had prophesied that these things would happen if they didn't repent. They didn't repent. It happened. Then they cry out, God, how come this stuff is happening? And God says, and I don't hear, because he just lets the judgment keep going because he stored up his wrath for the day of wrath. And until the wrath cup gets empty, the wrath is coming. It's too late to just care about bad things happening. And Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Jeremiah 14, God told Jeremiah, do not pray for these people anymore because it's judgment time. I'm not going to spare the people. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations, which they had not known. Thus the land became desolate after them, so that no one passed through or returned, for they made the pleasant land desolate. that happened during the Babylonian captivity where they were scattered to Babylon. And I think Zechariah was also prophesying to 70 AD because they were scattered to all the nations then. And how long did it become desolate? A long time. To the point where, again, Mark Twain, the famous author, he went over the land of Israel and he chronicled in his diary his trips. And this place is a complete wasteland. How in the world was this place such a center of all this New Testament and Old Covenant, you know, the Old Testament stuff? There's nothing here. There's just a few people in Jerusalem. There's this. The land is barren, scattered them, destroyed the land because of the sinfulness of the people. Could it happen here? Could. The Bible doesn't prophesy it will, but sin has consequences. You can. That is a fact. You don't have to be a Jew to have sin have consequences. You can be anybody in the world. Sin has consequences. Chapter 8, verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, I am zealous for Zion with a great zeal. With great fervor I am zealous for her." Now, the whole chapter is going to now be a bunch of promises about how much God loves Zion. Loves the nation of Israel, loves the land of Israel, loves Jerusalem, cares about the Jews. So, and you'll see this in all the minor prophets and the major prophets. You'll see God says, you guys have sinned and sinned and sinned, and judgment's coming and judgment's going to be harsh, but I have a great zeal for you. I care for you. And just like a difficult spanking for a child that's been so rebellious and is running out in the street and you're having to do whatever it takes to keep them from being stupid and destroying their life, yet you tell them, but you're my child and I love you and I have all this is leading to good things in your life ahead. To give them the promises and the hope that is there. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I am zealous for Zion with great zeal, with great fervor I am zealous after her. And then it goes on to say, thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion. Because he had left Zion, if you read Ezekiel, just before the Babylonians did come and destroy, Ezekiel saw the vision of the presence of God, the Shekinah glory of God, actually leaving the temple. So the Jews actually got to see the glory of God leave the temple when he says, I'm out of here. He showed Ezekiel, look at what they're doing. All the elders of Israel are worshiping all these idols that have been hidden inside the temple that nobody sees. They go inside, we're going to go worship God, and they're sitting there worshiping all the temples. And look at the women. They're over here weeping for Tammuz, the Babylonian god. And look at these other elders and priests of Israel that are, the sun is coming up on the east side of the temple. They're worshiping the sun god. And he says, the glory of God left the temple, went out the threshold, went on the Mount of Olives, and gone. And so he hadn't been back. The people are back, but the glory of God is not back. And God is saying, there's a day he's going to return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Now, has that happened yet? No. Jerusalem is not called the city of truth. It's not considered the mountain of the Lord of hosts. Who's the Lord of hosts? Now, think about this. The Lord of hosts is the Lord God Almighty. And it's going to be the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. And it talks about how the Messiah is going to come and he's going to rule out of Jerusalem. So clearly the Old Testament is saying the Messiah is going to be the Lord of hosts. He's going to be God. And when Jesus comes, it's going to be God. Now consider how people read this 500 years later when there's talk of, hey, there's this new prophet that John the Baptist said, the one who comes after me is before me, and he's the one that's not worthy for me to even loose his sandals. He's the Messiah. And the people are going, whoa, as soon as there's talk of Messiah, there's the talk that Jerusalem's going to be the city of truth. Jerusalem's going to become the mountain of the Lord of hosts. But did it come to that? No. We have to understand that there is a reason why the Jews were so confused. Even John the Baptist was confused. Lord, are you really the one? As I'm sitting here in jail about to get my head chopped off, are you really the one? Because that's what God was telling me. Are you really? Because they were wanting all of these verses to be fulfilled. And yet we can say now, 2,000 years later, they were wrong because they still had sin in the camp. Because there was no solution to sin. Until there was a death on the cross, taking the sins of the world upon himself, there was no way to set up a kingdom. And it was in the Old Testament that that had to happen. The Messiah had to die. But it wasn't clear that before these verses in Zechariah had happened, that had to happen. There was going to be a gap of time between the two. But someday, and yet future to us, when Jesus returns after the Battle of Armageddon, Jerusalem is going to be called the Mountain of the Lord of Hosts. Thus says the Lord of Hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each one with his staff in his hand because of great age. The Bible says in Isaiah that people will live 1,000 years again. What it says is you'll die young if there is a death in the kingdom because of sinning and rebellion against God. And God says, okay, you don't want to be here, and they die. It says you'll be young to die at 100 years old. And it's implied by that that people will live for the whole 1,000 years. When Jesus returns, the people that survived the tribulation into the kingdom age are going to somehow be changed to where they will live to the end of the tribulation period, if they want to. Each one of them with his staff in his hand, because great age, the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets. Now, people might have thought, well, this is partially fulfilled in Jesus' day. There were people playing in the, there were kids playing in the streets. But under what? Under the thumb of Rome. Under the oppression of Rome. Several times, hundreds and hundreds of their people would be slaughtered by the Roman authorities. And I would venture to say they probably thought, wow, that's really not happening, Jesus. How come you aren't doing that? Is it partially fulfilled today? One of the things in being in Jerusalem now three times, what's so amazing to me is you can walk from the Arab quarter, which is somewhat subdued. There isn't much joy there isn't much normalcy or joy. And then you walk into the Jewish quarter and you literally hear kids playing in the streets. You hear the joy and the laughter, and they're running through the streets. And actually, part of me is thinking, man, this is America. These kids, they need to be protected. They're going to get abducted. They're going to be, it's not even the American mindset of kids, because it's like it used to be in America that kids are running around the streets and up the thing in Jerusalem. I noticed that when we were there for Purim this last time. It didn't seem like, it's their neighborhood and there's narrow streets and they knew exactly what was going on and probably were being watched. But it's partially playing, but it's going to be totally fulfilled when King Jesus is back, because there's going to be no concern for what's going to be happening with those kids. And they'll be playing and old men will be on their staff. Thus says the Lord of Hosts, if it is marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, will it also be marvelous in my eyes, says the Lord of Hosts. Thus says the Lord of Hosts, behold, I will save my people from the land of the east and from the land of the west. Let's turn to Isaiah 43:1. They probably were confused about this in Jesus' day. For those that were anticipating the coming of the Messiah, they'd have been looking at all these verses as messianic prophecies of the Messiah's coming and how he's going to set up his kingdom. Okay, Jesus, we know where our people are coming from the east. They're coming from Assyria. They're coming from Babylon. They're coming from Persia, from Iran. But what about the west? There was no talk of the Jews being dispersed to the west. None. Not even the 10 tribes of Israel were all heading east. And by the way, news 4 days ago, Jews leaving France, Ukraine generates 50% increase in immigration to Israel. The growing oppression of the Jews throughout the world is causing more and more Jews to just pull up their roots in the Western world and say, we're out of here. It's up 80%. Isaiah 43 prophesies the same thing. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. He's emphasizing there's going to be a time where he is going to totally protect the Jews. No matter what kind of oppression comes, they're going to be protected. Verse 4, since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men to you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east Gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. And when Russia all of a sudden opened its doors, one in five, you can check it on Google, find out if I'm wrong and just chalk it up to Kevin not looking it up first. But I think it's 1 in 5 Jews came from Russia in a certain age group for sure. Russia just all of a sudden, when the walls came down, bam, all of a sudden, all the Jews are flying out of Russia into Israel. And from the West, they're coming from the West. I was reading a commentator who said, boy, if this literally is fulfilled, what Zechariah says, then New York's going to be a ghost town. Because there's more Jews in America than there is in Israel. Do you realize that's not true anymore? That was written many, many years ago. It's now there's more Jews in Israel than the rest of the world. Why? Because they're all flocking to Israel. Why? Because the prophets said it's going to happen. Isaiah, Zechariah, saying there's going to be a call of the Jewish people. And actually, it says, it started out by saying, thus says the Lord, if it is marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of his people in these days. Some people, they have all their wealth, their family, their extended family, their history in America, France, Europe, various other parts of Europe, and if it's wonderful in your eyes, leave it and come back to the land that you're called to be in, because the last days are coming. I think the Ayala, I think that's how you say it, Aliyah, the Aliyah, which is the return to the land of Israel, is escalating, and what we're seeing happening in the news, and just to date this tape, you have the whoever heard of ISIS 3 weeks ago, and now they're taking over Iraq and threatening Syria and Jordan, and they're saying as soon as we get done doing what we want to do, we're going to get Israel. If in all of our escapades of, you know, going into banks and getting tens of millions of dollars and finding shoulder-fired missiles and chemical weapons, if we get our hands on a nuke, we're going to nuke Israel. That's what they're saying. They go, you might think that's kind of stupid because that's the land we have to take from them. Well, we'll just decontaminate it and live it as soon as we exterminate them all. That's what one of their leaders said this week. Don't think we're not going to use a nuke because then we contaminate the land we want to live in. We'll just kill them all. We'll decontaminate and move in. So as soon as we get it, that's what we're going to do. And Israel is looking around and going, Zechariah, how is the Messiah going to come? How is this going to be a city of truth? How is this going to be the city of peace? And the children are walking in the streets laughing when it looks like the entire world is wanting to exterminate us. Well, we can say right now, June 25th, 2014. Doesn't matter how many nations, doesn't matter how many people, how many armies, how many missiles, how many nukes. There's going to be a day where God fully restores the Jewish people in the land. He reigns over them. He is the God of love and peace and truth. And he's going to reign in Israel because he promised them that's what he's going to do. And we're seeing that in the book of Zechariah. I will bring them back, going back to Zechariah 8:7. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the land of the east and from the land of the west. Jews are going to continue to flock into the land of Israel. Some people believe, and I actually kind of agree with them, that part of the master plan of the world is to get the Jews to go back there so that it's easier to get them all. It's possible that some of the elites have actually allowed things to happen throughout history to bring it to this end, because it's just a lot easier to get them if you get them all in one place. But their plans are going to be thwarted by Almighty God because he's calling them back. If that is their plan, they're going to be thwarted. Verse 8, I will bring them back, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. They shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and righteousness. When is that going to happen? Is the God of Israel their God? The whole nation of Israel, is it their God? No. Was it in the days of Jesus, were they ready for that? No. They wanted Caesar. Caesar is our king. That's what they cried on the day they said, crucify him, crucify him. But the day is coming that Jesus is going to reign from Jerusalem, and that will be perfectly fulfilled. when they cry on and look on him whom they have pierced. Verse 9, thus says the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong. You who have been hearing in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets who spoke in the day the foundation was laid for the house of the Lord of hosts, that the temple might be built. Thus says the Lord, let your hands be strong. Remember when Zechariah and Haggai, my prophets, told you to go build the temple. What was the condition of the land? When they were saying, stop worrying about your own life and go build the temple, go back to being the witness people by doing sacrifice for sin properly to be my witness of how sin is dealt with. What was it like in those days? Verse 10, for before these days, there were no wages for man nor hire for beast. There was no peace from the enemies for whoever went out or came in. There was no peace from the enemy for whoever went out or came in. For I set all men, everyone, against his neighbor. Before they started doing what God told them to do through Zechariah and Haggai, when they're, we read this at the beginning of the book of Haggai, that they'd work, but the money fell through their pockets. They would try and grow crops, but the weather would destroy their crops, all these other things. And we can't build the temple. We're barely surviving. And what God said through the prophet is, just go do what God says, and then God will deal with the weather. He'll deal with your unemployment. He'll deal with your health care. He'll deal with everything. Obey God, and then the country will be blessed. Don't say, I don't have time for God because life's too tough. Well, life's tough because you didn't have time for God. Make time for God, and then your life will get better. Amen. And that's what we just need to tell people. Because otherwise they're just thwarted in everything that they try and do. Verse 11, but now I will not treat the remnant of this people as in the former days, says the Lord of hosts. For the seed shall be prosperous. The vine shall give its fruit. The ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their due. I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all of these. So now the temple is built. Now the people are wanting to do things God's way. And he's saying, now I will bless you. Because all that was discipline to get you to cry out to God. And I sent the prophets, you listened, so now it's going to be better. It was partially fulfilled then. Partially during the time of Jesus too, but never completely fulfilled, coming in a future time where the Jewish land, the whole world is going to be prosperous. Everything is going to, there's not going to be unemployment. There's not going to be drought, famine. Nobody's going to be doing chemtrails to modify weather for whatever they're doing and all this other stuff happening in the world today and the craziness of what's going on. All that's going to be dealt with by Jesus. He's going to make it all go away. It's going to be wonderful. And maybe even California will get some rain. And so, verse 13, and it shall come to pass that just as you were a curse among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so I will save you, and you shall be a blessing. Do not fear, let your hands be strong. The first time we went to Israel, we stayed with a family called the Gepners. They were a well-educated couple, and they didn't even they had to go find their Bible. When I encouraged them, let's talk the scriptures, they couldn't find it at first. And they said, forget the prophets. And the reason why they said that is because us Jews were hated by the world. Our history is nothing but the world hating us. And these prophets have said, don't fear, let your hands be strong, because I'm going to cause you to be a blessing in the nations. And some of the other prophecies about when the Messiah would come and what would happen when the Messiah came never came true. So they said, forget it. And some of the prophecies can't come true now, and they didn't come true. So we're just kind of secular Jews. We like being Jewish. We like living in Israel, but we're not so into the scripture. And, I tried to explain to him how they're not looking at the prophecies right, because there's a two-coming Jesus thing. And they were anticipating the fulfillment of all these things when some of this is left for the future. Does the world love the Jews? Does the world, as it says here, just as you were a curse among the nations, are the Jews a curse among the nations? The United Nations has spent more time on condemning the nation of Israel than any other thing in the world. You have Bashir of North Sudan slaughtering 2 million of his own people with jihad. And for years, nobody in America even knew anything about it. UN doesn't really care. Until he started going after the Darfurian Muslims, then the world started waking up to what Bashir was doing. I mean, all these genocides, all these megalomaniacs and these dictators that are ruthless gets hardly a peep. But Israel blows their nose, and there's a UN conference about what did they do to the world and that they should be annihilated. They are a curse to the world today, except for God's people. God's true people, they're a blessing to us. And there's going to be a time where the whole world is going to be totally blessed by the Jews. It's going to be when Jesus comes back. Verse 14, for thus says the Lord of hosts, just as I determined to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, says the Lord of hosts, and I would not relent. So again, in these days, future to us, speaking to 2,500 years ago to through Zechariah to the people. So again, in these days, I'm determined to do good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Do not fear. See, Jesus, he lives in the eternal now. I mean, he's already seen it. He says, oh, I've determined to do this. And us people locked in this time warp that we're in. Well, when? Tomorrow, Jesus? No, 2,500 years. I just want you to know the promise is there. These are the things you shall do. Speak each man. You know, basically, the day's coming, and this is what you need to do. You guys need to fear the law of God to do what? To speak each man the truth with his neighbor. Now, we covered that in James last week. Don't swear, but let your yes be yes and your no be no. That's God saying, I want you to tell the truth. Give judgment in your gates for truth, justice and peace. Let none of you think evil in your heart against your neighbor. And do not love a false oath. For all these are things that I hate, says the Lord. Isn't it neat to serve a God who hates it when we lie? Because you know what? I don't know about you, but I hate it when people lie to me. It's just, how can you know the truth? You know, I mentioned a couple Sundays ago whenever it was, I got lied to. And it's just like, I'm thinking, I want to have further dialogue with this guy, but I can't ever trust him. I said, please tell me the truth, no matter what. Just either say nothing or just make sure you tell me the truth because this is a one-shot deal. Okay, I'm going to tell the truth. And then I knew he lied to me. And he ended up confessing that it was a lie. And so do we like it when people plot evil against us? No, because God has created in us a desire for people not to plot evil against us. But it's so easy for us to plot evil against somebody else. In our flesh, it's so easy for us to do these things. It's amazing. I'll use the same logic with people in jail. You guys like people stealing from you? Which one of you guys loves it when somebody steals from you? No. Any of you guys stolen? And just to show the human nature of man. No, I hate it when people steal from me. That's God. That's God in your heart saying you weren't created to be ripped off. And then, but I don't mind stealing from other people. That's the devil in your fallen flesh that you got from the Garden of Eden. And that's what God wants to fix. And you don't want to fix it, then he doesn't want you. Because you have to want him to fix that by the power of the Holy Spirit, by forgiving you for the times that you've done it. And then said, okay, I want you to change my heart so I will hate stealing from people as much as you do. And so that I can be forgiven and changed so I'll be fit for the kingdom that's coming. Verse 18, then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, the fast of the fifth month, when they burned down Jerusalem, when they killed Gedaliah, assassinated Gedaliah, the fast of the seventh, the fast of the tenth, or one of those, tenth, I think, is when Jerusalem was actually, the walls were destroyed, shall be joy and gladness and cheerful feast for the house of Judah, therefore love, truth, and peace. There's going to be a day coming. You're not even going to remember the destruction of Jerusalem. You're not going to remember the assassinations. You're not going to remember the burning of the city. You're not going to remember the complete judgment that has come on your nation. It's going to all be feasting. The tears are going to be wiped away. You're going to be living in peace and love and truth. Thus says the Lord of hosts, people shall yet come, inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another saying, let us continue to go and pray before the Lord and seek the Lord of hosts. I myself will go also. Yes, many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Wow. Now, who are these people going to be? Again, the tribulation is going to come. We're going to start covering that lead up in some topical studies on Sunday morning. You know, kind of a left behind rapture series. And there's going to be a few people that survive the coming Holocaust to the world. A few people. And the people that survive, are they going to be brought before Jesus? He will judge them as sheep and goats, based on Matthew 25. The sheep will be allowed to come into his kingdom from all the nations of the world. The angels go and they gather up all the Jews that are hiding in any place on planet Earth. They're going to all, as the elect, be brought to live in the land of Israel, to occupy Jerusalem with their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus. They will look on him whom they have pierced, it says later on in Zechariah. They worship him. All of Israel at that time that has survived the tribulation and see Jesus come, they are all repenting. They're all allowed to come into the kingdom. The Gentiles that are sheep are allowed to live into the kingdom. They have children for the years and years following during the 1,000-year reign of Jesus. And during that 1,000 years, where we're living and reigning with Christ as the church, we're coming back with Jesus, and we're his cops, if you will. We're going to be watching the inhabitants of the world as Jesus is ruling. Nobody's going to be ripping each other off. No sin and violation of God's law. Somebody really wants to sin, apparently, according to Isaiah, they're going to die. But they're going to die young if they're 100 years old, because they're not going to be allowed to. And if they say, I demand to be able to rip off somebody, okay, you die. God will judge them. But the rest of the inhabitants of the world are going to say, King Jesus is ruling in Jerusalem. And what this is saying is people are going to go, you know, it's been a while since we've been over to Jesus, to God, living here on earth, to go listen to him and to worship him and pray. Let's take an LL flight to Jerusalem again and let's go see Jesus, or however you travel during the millennial reign. That's what this is prophesying. During the time of the millennial reign of Jesus, people on this earth are going to say, let's go to a Bible study with King Jesus. And they're going to be going from all over the world. Yes, many peoples and strong nations shall come and seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days, 10 men from every language of the nations shall grasp the sleeve of a Jewish man, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Isn't that going to be something? You're going to find something in Jewish, maybe they wear their tassels, and the 10 people are going to run, hey, can you give us a pass to get into your country? Can you give us a visa? We want to go see Jesus. I don't know. How come you have to go grab a Jewish guy and say, can we sneak onto your plane or whatever it is? Somehow a Gentile is going to have to go to a Jew and say, I want to go to your nation. I want to sit at the feet of Jesus. I want to go and learn of him. How tragic it will be, though. You sit there and you think, man, how could that go south? But we know from the book of Revelation, after 1,000 years, what happens? The devil is loosed out of the pit. And see, what God has done in that 1,000 years of reign, what he's technically done is he's given the world a dispensation where people are not allowed to sin, but God gets to rule. Some people say, why did God let Satan come into the world if he knew that Satan was going to deceive Adam and Eve? Why doesn't he just make everybody do what's right now? Why is there all this stuff that happens in the world? So God is going to give him 1,000 years of bliss. Everything is wonderful. And then he's going to say, okay, Satan, see what you can do. And Satan's going to walk up to the people and say, don't you think it'd be nice to get drunk and party and do drugs again? What's drugs? And say, well, let me, here, smoke this, do this, shoot this, get drunk. You know, and hey, how about a little rape? How about a little immorality? How about let's play some reruns from 2014 NCIS shows, see how funny that is. And people are going to go, wow, look at what we've been missing. And God is saying, everybody that says, yeah, look at what we've been missing, instead of bowing their hearts and going, oh, how wicked. How could anybody, how did they do that in 2014? How they were rebelling against this holy God that we've been serving. All of those people that feel that way, grieved heart, they end up, Jesus says, come to Jerusalem. All you guys that really like it here, come to Jerusalem. Everybody else goes outside the walls of Jerusalem and they're saying with Satan, let's kill them all. Let's kill all those goody two-shoe Christians. Let's get rid of that Jesus and let's get rid of those Christians. And then, poof, God puts the final destruction on the world. He goes, I gave the world every single way to live. I gave them the law with Moses and the Jews. I gave them the time before Noah, the time after Noah, before Moses. I gave them Jesus and the dispensation of the church. And I gave them me sitting here on earth so they would know what it would be like in heaven. And the ones that don't want it, they don't have to go. And now I'm going to set up heaven. And everybody that's there are the people that have wanted heaven. Do you want heaven? I want heaven. I don't want Jesus to go away. I don't want the devil, Satan, and his stuff. The thing that grieves me the most is when my flesh is tantalized or in any way participates in the things that grieve Jesus. And someday I'm going to be delivered of even that when he gives me a new body. And I get to go be with him. And the closer we draw to him, the more we feel that way. And all this stuff going on in the Middle East right now, which could get bad really pretty quick. It's going to be such a joy to see this God making sure that what we just read is someday going to happen. Because the world powers and the nations are saying, oh, Zechariah, we're going to get rid of all the Jews. There isn't going to be a Jew for 10 people to cling to his robe and to say, let's go worship your Jesus. We're going to wipe them off the face of the earth. That's what they're saying. They lose. And we're going to be able to watch God's word come true before our very eyes, maybe even in the not too distant future. Father, we thank you for Zechariah, Lord. And we thank you for your promises to the Jews, because we know that since you keep it with them, we know you'll keep your promise with us too. That everybody who comes and acknowledges that they're heavy laden with their sins and put that burden down upon your shoulders, that you'll give us rest, and that your yoke is easy and your burden is light, because all we really have to do is by faith trust you and walk with you and allow you to change our life and our heart until the day you take us home. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand.
Now.
shield about them. And really, as we saw in the scripture, you know, since you guys have done what's right, I'm going to be a shield again, a shield around you for your endeavors. And I really think that's a biblical principle. If you're struggling with things in your life, maybe it's because you've lost your shield, you know, kind of a force shield, a God force field thing. And find out, am I messing up and God's just disciplining me? Then repent, get right, trust God, and have a shield about you. And He's the lifter of our head, even in times of trouble. He lifts our head, and someday we're going to be with Him. God bless you. Keep you in His care. And thanks for coming.